All right, okay. Actually, firstly, thank organizer to invite me here to present our recent work on modeling H1N1 pandemic influenza in China. And this is a joint work with Professor Jianhong Wu, Xu Enma, Yi Changzhu, and San Yi Tang. So let's briefly have the outbreak motivations. I briefly introduce the outbreak of H1N1 influenza pandemic in China and introduce non-pharmaceutical interventions which was implemented in China, such as quarantine, isolation, and fengxiao. That's the Chinese pronunciation. I will describe in detail later. And then based on our data on laboratory confirmed cases, I use two methods, model-based method and likelihood method, to estimate the reproduction number and other parameters, and then to extend our baseline model to the max population model to examine the effect of interventions and national travel on global outcome of the pandemic influenza, and finally the conclusions. What's the problem of this one? Okay, let's briefly introduce the outbreak in mainland China. As we know, the first confirmed cases was reported in May 11th in 2009, and since then, the imported case dominate until end of July, and since August, the local cases began to exceed the imported case. Until the earlier September, the local cases absolutely dominate. Until 2010, end of March, there are totally 1.12 million confirmed cases, with about 1,000 imported cases. Here I have to mention H1N1 cases were underreported since December, because any patient with fever do not have to have a confirmation of H1N1 for medical treatment. So since December, this cases underreported. Let's see the daily number of cases for the mainland China. Here. Now this figure shows the from July to September the 1st. The blue bar is imported cases, and the pink bar is local cases. So we can see that from September, earlier September, the local cases absolutely dominate. And the right figure is hospital notifications from July to end of November. We can observe the two increases. First, initial increases in earlier September, and then the second increases just after October national holiday. Now here, this data is non-regular, because Bureau of Health started to report daily and then changed to once every 2 days and once every week. And no data available on weekend or national day holiday. And also we obtain the data from central government public health information systems. And this data was analyzed anonymously. And here, this is data for Shanxi province. And this is for Shanxi province where I'm working. The first case was reported September the 3rd. Reported in the institute, and from September the 3rd, this pink bar is community cases, and this blue bar represents the sporadic cases. We can say the community cases absolutely dominate. This comes from hospital notifications. And again, we have the two waves. Unlike two waves reported in other areas of the world, and because there is no weather change around this turning point, and also students, universities already started the fall semester a month ago. This is from September the 3rd. So the H1N1 virus was received in more populations with beginning of the fall semester in late August. So this receding certainly generates the initial growth. And this fourth wave quickly declined due to very restricted interventions implemented in the universities and the community. And then this decline trend was reversed following the October National Day holiday. That's from October 1st to October 7th, during which the population mobility was significantly increased, and also some interventions such as the Fengxiao, which was implemented especially in university, was suspended. So in this work, we mainly focus on the effect of interventions, especially quarantine or isolation and Fengxiao, which I will describe later. Let's say introduce the non-pharmaceutical interventions. Now with experience 2003 SARS outbreak in China, the central government quickly take a serious interventions such as intensive contact tracing followed by quarantine of susceptible individuals who have been exposed to the virus, isolation of symptomatic individuals, and travel precaution and hygiene precaution, and then school closure and Fengxiao. The Fengxiao, this one is quite different from a school closure. Now say at entrance of the school, the students get check temperature. If the temperature is normal, they are allowed to go in. Otherwise, just stay home. Now, what does Fengxiao mean? This half word, very importantly. This prohibits the college and university student members to leave their campus and disallow on-campus visit and carefully monitor the essential services provider who have to cross the campus boundary, and also campus normal activities being kept. You will say, is it possible? Yes, it is feasible. Since in China, the vast majority of students, especially in university students, have their residence on campus, and staff or staff member or faculties are hosted in campus special zone. So that measure is feasible. Now this is Chinese character. On this board, the Chinese character size, there has been one confirmed cases in Anhui University. So student and staff member are not alone to leave the university. I'm sorry. And this on campus visit. Now, Based on that effect and also the data we observed, we use the model-based method and likelihood method to estimate the parameters and the important basic reproduction number. And here I call the control reproduction number. Since from the beginning, the interventions are in action. So for the first method, we need to have this model. This is a flow diagram. Now this structure have successful and then exposed but not yet infectious. Infectious not yet symptomatic and infectious with symptoms and then recovered. If we quarantine strategy are implemented, so a proportion of exposed and infectious not yet symptomatic goes to this compartment. And the infectious with symptomatic individuals are hospitalized or isolated in this hospital. So that is H classes. And we assume this quarantine or isolated classes are not contributing to transmission. So based on this diagram, we easily write the determinant model. And let's say the E1 equation. And this is transmission term and beta transmission coefficient. And epsilon is relative infectiousness of this E2. How here, there is evidence that the infectious individuals, infected individuals can spread virus prior to onset of symptom. That's why I split the latency into these two classes, E1 and E2. That means E1 cannot contribute to transmission. And also this phi is proportion of individuals exposed to virus has been protected from transmission. That is hygiene precaution rate. This delta one is a rate progress to this E2, and the QE, this quarantine rate from this class goes to this class. And similarly, we can write the other equations for other classes. And based on this structure, we easily get this RC. Use the next generation matrix. Let's see the model-based estimation. The adaptive metropolic Hastings algorithm is employed to carry out MCMC procedure. And after growing period of 500,000 iterations, and the next 1 million sampler gives estimates. So we easily get the mean RC is 1.6, and the 95% confidence interval is like this. Now this is parameters. Now MCMC means use MCMC procedure to get the estimation of this parameter. And some of parameter I get from literatures. And I plot the best fit solutions. The dates from September 3rd to September 21st. And also I calculated R square statistics, which is 0.96. And then the likelihood-based estimation of RC. And I just gave this method in detail. Just to see this result. And then the likelihood-based method gives me is about 1.657, and which is consistent with this mean estimate. And also the 95% confidence interval are overlapping. And also I carry out the sensitivity analysis. Now this is for RC, this effect of durations of latency and duration of infections before onset of symptom and the duration of infections following onset of symptom. This is RC. This is one quarantine rate, another quarantine rate for E2 classes. So we can say the RC, the estimated mean RC is decreasing with decreasing this durations. And also the quarantine rate for the E2 is not sensitive to these durations. Because these durations, we get this parameter from the literature. So we want to see effect of these parameters on our estimates. And then this table gives the effect of periods of consideration on the mean estimates. So we can see the different periods give the different mean RC, but not too much change, and also the 95% confidence interval are overlapping. And then we would like to extend our baseline model to metapopulation model to evaluate the effectiveness of specially relevant interventions such as functional mobility control on the global outcomes. So use this metapopulation model, we do the following two different settings. Now one thing is to consider the disease spread among the a network of universities within a city, say Xi'an, where I'm based. And other things is to consider the disease spread among the national work of provinces to examine the effect of mobility control on global outcomes of pandemic influenza. Let's say the metapopulation model. Suppose the individuals disperse among N patches on the dispersal network. Let's SI represents the successful in patch I. Now first term is similar to our baseline model. And second term is induced by the mobility. This DSI means dispersal rate. This capital D represents a low dispersal network, while G is adjacency matrix of dispersal network. The matrix I represent the emigrant, so which is a diagonal matrix with entries satisfying these equations. If considered further the travel-related transmission, we have another additional term. Now this term is induced by the transmission between moving successful and infectious. So this is quite a big term. And now we have no reliable dispersal. So in the simulation, all the dispersal rates are generated independently and identically distributed among all patches on this interval. And then we can vary this smaller edge to represent strong, weak dispersal. See here, that edge is 4.9 to represent a strong and weak dispersal. And that edge equals to 14 to represent functional strategy. And now, how to trick or suspend the functional strategy? Now here, we define the upper threshold of hospital notifications to switch on the functional strategy, and then to define the lower threshold to switch off the functional strategy. and also the functional strategy as well as the local measures can be updated in terms of hospital notifications. So let's see the details. Now here is we show the random network that is the normal population dispersal, and we can monitor one of the patch, any one of the patch. If the, for example, this one, if the hospital notification reaches the up threshold, and then we can change the dispersal rate along these connections. That means to let this dispersal rate becomes tiny. That means this university or this patch implement the functional strategy. And also we can also strengthen the local measure within this patch. If the hospital notification within this match reaches the lower threshold, and the functional strategy can return back to, the functional strategy can be suspended, so the dispersal rate along these connections return back to the normal value, and also the local measures can be relaxed. So this is one simulation, say the effectiveness of functional. Initially, we assume the disease outbreak in one university, which is reality in Xi'an city. Now see, within one university there is disease outbreak, and this plot is 51 universities without Fengxiao. This column is hospital notifications. This is one with Fengxiao. Now we can see Fengxiao can delay the epidemic peak significantly, but may cause severe outbreak later, because this Fengxiao prevent the outbreak from to the more general populations. To get the average result, the 500 simulations are carried out, and we get the mean hospital notifications. Now this A, B, we just have Fengxiao only. Now in this plot A and B, the pink curves, that is without Fengxiao, and the green and blue, that is with Fengxiao, and with different up or lower threshold. And from A and B, we can see the earlier Fengxiao can significantly delay the peak time, but may cause some more outbreak. To investigate the interaction of local control and Fengxiao, from this plot C to F, we can see this CD, the pink one is local control only. Now this blue or green is local control and Fengxiao interactions. So from these four plots, we can see the peak magnitude becomes smaller and smaller as local controls switched on off. And compare CD and EF, because we can see the Fengxiao just influence the peak timing, and the local control affects the peak magnitude. And also we can compare this AB, the Fengxiao only, this is green one, and the upper and the lower threshold, with this CD, this is pink one, local control only. We can see the local control only. Be careful this scale. So it indicates the local control only is effective to mitigate the outbreak than functional does. And for this two plot, when the functional is suspended, the local control measure can be returned back to a higher value. So the successive waves can be inhibited by this persistent higher local control measures. So this is conclusion of this above pictures. So earlier Feng Xiao can delay the epidemic, and late implementation of Feng Xiao have little effect on the outbreak. And also local strategy affects the peak magnitude, where Feng Xiao influence the peak timing and prevents the disease spread to the general population. Bear in mind, in our epidemic curve, there was a second increase just after October National Day holiday. So this work was conducted before Chinese New Year. So we would like to, and also it is interesting to think whether increased population mobility during the Chinese New Year induce a new wave or not. That means that the decline trend can be reversed by massive population mobility. So we consider the system with 32 patches represents the 32 provinces, in China, and use parameter values for province of Shanxi as a baseline parameter for each patch. Now, this is effect of national travel on influenza outbreak, and here is HI and this hospital notification and infectious. This two plot is weak dispersal, right? That represents the normal dispersal, and then the large dispersal. And here, because a consequence of large dispersal or social activities will increase the population size. So here, I double the population size, and then the reduce the quarantine rate. So from these four plots, we can see the large dispersal rate or double population size can increase the population outbreak in some patches, but did not change the downward overall. Well, if we reduce the quarantine rate by 20%, we can see how they induce noticeable new waves. And also we can calculate the variation of attack rate in the varying local control measure and national wide travel. And we don't skip this. And if we further consider the transport related transmission, here still weak dispersal and large dispersal and large transport related transmission rate, and then large dispersal coupled large transport related transmission. And here we can see only large transport related transmission rate cannot get induce a new wave, but large dispersal rate can induce a small new wave. But coupled these two can get a large new wave. So summarize, based on the data on laboratory confirmed cases for Shaanxi province, we use the two methods to estimate the parameters and the control reproduction number. And we carry out the sensitivity analysis. And then we examine the effect of non-pharmaceutical interventions such as quarantine and hygiene precaution on the global outcomes based on the metapopulation model. Now this finding suggests the promote implementation of multiple non-pharmaceutical interventions is required to reduce the potential risk of new outbreak and to mitigate the new outbreak should it occur. Finally, I should acknowledge this fund and our collaborators. I should stop here. Thank you.